Today, Dr. Melanie Burton, a forensic and counseling psychologist, clinical social worker, and licensed addictions counselor, brings you one step closer to a new you, where you feel empowered and on a positive path to growth and well-being. As a solutions-focused therapist, Dr. Melanie Burton can help you live a life worth celebrating by unearthing those long-standing behavior patterns and perceptions that may be holding you back. And now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Burton.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're doing well and getting ready for the holidays. I'm so happy and excited. Today I have Maria Baltazzi on my show. So let me tell you a little bit about Maria. Maria Baltazzi is a happiness explorer. Her calling is to help you become happier and live more consciously. Maria's experience as an Emmy winning TV producer, well-being teacher, world traveler, and luxury travel designer specializing in transformative adventures has given her a unique lens into conscious living. Like all of us, Maria has faced challenges personally and professionally. Instead of letting life's setbacks defeat her, Maria was inspired to embark on a life-changing journey where she realized 8 happiness essentials that create a happier, more fulfilling life. Now Maria helps you discover your path to happiness in a fun, creative way that combines journaling and phone photography. Maria holds an MFA in film from Art Center College of Design and a PhD in Conscious Centered Living from the University of Sedona. Additional studies include mindfulness meditation teaching, training with Jack Kornfield and Tara Branch, primordial sound meditation teacher, training from the Chakra Center, happiness studies with Tal Ben Shahar, positive neuroplasticity training with Rick Hansen, spiritual psychology with Ron and Mary Holnick at the University of Santa Monica, positive psychology at the University of Pennsylvania, the science of happiness at the University of Berkeley, and an inner MBA from Mindful NYU. In her own happiness journey, Maria finds joy in giving back. She has walked over 7,500 miles to raise funds for charity, including marathons on all 7 continents, and is still going. Maria's adventurous life has also involved climbing the 15,000 foot trail to Machu Picchu, leading African safaris, making pilgrimages along the Camino de Santiago, summing Mount Kilimanjaro twice, and tracking the Everest base camp. Maria has developed and produced shows throughout the world. She was one of the original supervising producers of the TV mega hit Survivor. She is a member of both the Producer and Directors Guild of America, a fellow national member of the Explorers Club, and an advisor for the Transformational Travel Council. Given her diverse experience, expertise, and infectious enthusiasm, Maria is a genuine inspiration for those seeking to live their best lives. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Yes, thank you for joining us. I just got your book.
Oh, yay. And so, I have it here.
So I'm looking forward to taking a shot at happiness over the holidays.
Oh, good, good. I hope you find inspiration in the pages. There's also a companion app that can be downloaded from the App Store.
Oh,
So,
how nice.
yeah, there's activities in the books. It's the photo journaling and the writing journaling that you mentioned in my biography that all of those prompts, all of those activities now sit on an app, and you can work on being happier wherever you go.
That's awesome. Wow. You have quite the bio. How have you done so much with your life?
Well,
You've done a lot.
you've accomplished a lot too. I think we gravitate towards the things that interest us, and I always was interested in storytelling, and travel is part of the DNA of it's part of who I am. And along the way, doing big television productions as well as small television productions in remote countries, you're always responsible for really the well-being of your teams. And that started to impact me and thinking about my well-being. So then I started to gravitate towards that. So I've just always gravitated towards the things that I found interesting. So I went into television because that was interesting to me. I designed travel experiences because I love travel. I studied happiness and mindfulness because I wanted to have my well-being intact, and eventually I wanted to share out what was hugely impactful to me, to others, to help them live well.
That's great. That's great. So tell us, what inspired you to write Take a Shot at Happiness?
Well, being a producer, one of the original producers on Survivor for seven seasons, I had a front row seat to seeing human nature at its best and at its worst. And I always did the final episode. So I was with the Survivor contestants until the very end. And so many times I would be sitting in interview with them where they would be saying, "Well, this isn't really me. This is me playing a game." And it's just like, yes, it is you. Those are your actions and behaviors. That's absolutely you. However, they just had never been put in a position where they were on a remote location without their family, without their creature comforts, vying for life-changing money to really know what would come out in their personality and their behavior. And so I feel that we all have untapped potential that we don't fully understand until we either test it, like the survivors, or we explore it, which is what my book helps you do. I took that as part of the inspiration to create Take a Shot at Happiness.
Okay. And what is the secret to happiness?
I believe that the secret to happiness is making the choice and then backing up that choice with consistent, intentional action. That you do something every day that is going to uplift you, that is going to impact the betterment of your well-being. So it's choice plus action. That's what I think is the happiness. And then how you define that for yourself, that's the exploration. And that's what my book helps readers do, is that you are guided to explore what makes you happy or happier.
Okay. And can you really achieve sustainable happiness? And what does that look like?
Well, I think you can create a baseline of happiness that, and this is what I have created for myself over the years of studying, is that Life happens. Personal tragedies happens. Our parents die. We go into bankruptcy. We have world events impacting us, like COVID or now the current war. I mean, life happens. However, when you study and take on the habits, the virtues and qualities of and habits of happy people, it creates a baseline for you to come back to. So when you may be spiraling out, I know that when I get upset about something, I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to be defined by it because I have done the inner work to know that I have the emotional tools to navigate the challenges. First I recognize them sooner, I stay in them less time, and I get onto the other side more emotionally intact. So when you talk about sustainability, it's more that you have a baseline that you can go back to, is the way I look at it. So I feel like I have a framework that keeps me motivated, that keeps me positive, that keeps me moving forward. And I think that you can create and sustain.
Okay. I'm thinking about the fact that it's holiday time, and holidays aren't always happy for a lot of people. Holidays can be really, really difficult.
That's true. And actually, right now on my social media, I've been posting a happiness well-being advent calendar where I do short videos every day that is a self-care tip. And I think it's so important, especially navigating the holidays and really any time that you are taking care of yourself. That's when you hear on an airplane, the steward saying, put the oxygen mask on your face first, then take care of others around you. That's a good life lesson, is that you take care of yourself so you can show up better for others. And
Right.
self-care can come in the form of, doing something nice for yourself every day. Whether it's something as small as sitting with your favorite cup of coffee in your favorite location, or reading a book that you are really enjoying. It doesn't have to be these big things. It's also honoring that it's okay not to be okay, that you give yourself a hug and say, nurturing things to yourself. It's going to be okay. You'll get through this. I think that there's a lot of self-care things that you can do to get through the holidays, which can be difficult. If you can, spending time front with people who love you, not necessarily your biological family, but people who really love and support you, seek that out. Or get out into nature.
Yes.
Being out into nature is just so good for your overall being, just breathing fresh air and seeing the trees and walking through the hills. I mean, it's just so nurturing. So when you're feeling challenged during the holidays, consciously saying, okay, I'm entitled to my feelings. I feel what I feel. I'm going to do things that are loving towards myself. I'm going to take moments of pausing and just breathing, just being mindful of your breath. I'm going to take moments where I appreciate the beauty around me. These are all very simple things that are so powerful that you can do to help navigate difficult times during the holidays.
That's good advice. I'm going to share that with my patients because, for them, holidays can be really lonely and difficult, especially if you don't have your family.
I spend a lot of time on my own and I never feel lonely. And I know loneliness is huge, really, throughout the world. And I think part of self-care, which is, something I get into in my book, is that you can learn to be your own best friend. You can be learn to be your own company. Now, there's that. If you ever saw the Tom Cruise movie with Renee Zellweger, Jerry Maguire. I knew it would come to me, Jerry
Yes.
Maguire. Yeah, where at the end of the movie, he find, realizes what a jerk he's been, and he really loves her, and he takes her in his arms and say, "You complete me." Well,
Yeah.
no. You complete yourself, and then you're with someone else as a complement, not because they're filling some void. It can be scary learning to be your own best friend, learning to be on your own. And you start small. Maybe you just spend, 5 minutes having a cup of coffee at a public place. You increase that time. You do small things where you take yourself to a movie by yourself. Treat yourself to popcorn and soda and watch a film that really touches you. Or make yourself a candlelight dinner. I do that all the time. I mean, make yourself a beautiful meal, light candles. Turn on some music that you enjoy, and just really appreciate you and your own company. I think that
Right.
would go miles to helping people feel not so alone.
Right. And really getting to really, really know you and getting to really love you. Self-love is so important.
Yeah, not long ago, I traveled quite a bit for my business, whether it's producing or the travel experiences that I take my clients on. And I did one trip to it was in Kenya, and there was this Montessori school really in the middle of nowhere, about 150 miles outside of Nairobi. And we went to this school, and as we were walking in, there were all these signs along the pathway, empowerment, kindness, generosity, all these words of affirmation, of encouragement. And we went to this one second grade classroom where the kids sang the song about how, look at me, I'm powerful, I'm good, I'm worthy. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, these kids, they're in second grade and they are being taught to respect themselves. And
Yes.
I thought that that was so beautiful and so powerful. And we go to school to learn to be therapists, to learn to be doctors, to learn to be lawyers and filmmakers. However, we're not taught how to live, how to have well-being in our life. We're not taught how to be happy or given the opportunity many times to explore what is happiness to us as an individual. And that's the hope of my book. Is to give that guidance where we're not typically getting it. I mean, one of the most popular classes at Yale right now is a course about happiness.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, that says a
Yeah.
lot.
It really does. Yeah. So, why your approach to happiness versus anyone else's currently being talked about?
I wrote the book that I wished I would have had early in my journey. And Coming from a creative background, I wanted to go beyond the pages of an academic book. I wanted something that helped me to integrate what I was reading about. So my book, what I did is I qualified for myself, in my happiness journey, I qualified for myself what brought me happiness, what fulfilled my well-being, my well. And that there are things like being strong in my faith, having loving relationships, being healthy in mind, body, and soul. And so I qualified these for myself. And then I went and researched to see if there was science to back up what I was intuitively feeling and experiencing. And that became the Happiness Essentials, which are the chapters of my book. And so what I do is I have readers read about love, read about the concepts, and then I have them take their cell phones and go out, their guided prompts, go out and take pictures of what does love mean to you? How does love integrate into your world of happiness? How does forgiveness integrate into your world of happiness? So I have readers go and take photographs of things that are meaningful to them that help them define happiness specifically to them. And then I have them journal about it. So you take what are intellectual ideas and you make them hard ideas and you make them specific, you make them relevant to you. And I think that that's where my approach is different.
That's good. And the nice thing about that is, if you're having a difficult day, you can go back and look at those pictures, and it
And the
automatically changes your mood.
Th that is so true. And the other thing about taking a photograph, well, a couple of things about taking a photograph, and this was what happened to me. Yeah, everything I write about, it's everything that I have done to success for myself and where I started my journey and where I am today, it's 180. And what I found with taking pictures, it became meditative. So if I focused on a yellow rose that caught my eye in the morning as I was walking and it was lit up by a beautiful morning sun and there's still dew on the petals, and I just focused on that one image, everything else just melted away. Whatever I may have been worrying about, that conversation that upset me, or that presentation I'm a little bit nervous to give, all that would me melt away. And I would just for one moment take a pause to appreciate something really beautiful. And it was relaxing and it made me feel good. And I did this every day for almost 5 years. And it's still a big part of my emotional toolkit, if you will, is taking those images because it just was so centering for me. And the other thing, when you are taking photographs, especially the photographs being prompted, as I do in my as I give the photographic prompts in my book, is that when you go back and you look at that image, just like you said, it brings back those that positive feeling. And then you see things in that picture that maybe you didn't see or appreciate at the moment of taking that photo. So there's multiple things that are going on when you are taking pictures. And the other reason I'm using photography is if you think about our thoughts, usually it's a picture. And if it's a negative thought or what I like to say, an unproductive thought, you're picturing that. And so what I'm trying to do is help people find positive moments throughout the day in their daily lives to start creating positive mental pictures. You know, and when I feel when you do this consistently, when you are consistently looking for the good, you know, it starts to reshape your neural pathway towards the good, towards what's supportive. And you start to feel the benefits of feeling good, and you want to do it more. You know, the better you feel, the more you want to do it. And then it becomes a habit. And that habit is now reshaping your overall well-being. So what seems to be something very simple is actually very profound if you consistently do it. And it's fun. You know, we tend to do things that we enjoy doing and avoid the unpleasant things. So I also wanted to learn to make understanding, you know, learning about happiness and people understanding themselves better and what makes them happy in a way that was tangible, it was accessible, it was fun. So there was a lot of thought that went into why I use imagery and journaling and just the way I framed up my book.
Yeah, it's like art therapy. It really is. And there's so many people who have so many negative thoughts and they don't know how to get rid of their negative thought process. Your technique solves that problem.
It helps you become aware of your thoughts. And when you become aware of your thoughts, then you can actually do something about it. I have only ever met two people that have said, I like my negative thoughts. I like stewing in my anger. Only two people. Most people want to be happy, but they just, going back to what we were saying a moment ago, they just don't know how. They haven't been taught. They haven't been given the tool set.
Yeah, that is so true. So tell us, why did you choose to also use stories from film and TV?
Because it makes it more accessible. We relate to stories. We like to hear stories. You know, ever since, you know, cavemen were sitting around fires, you know, drawing pictures and, you know, communicating the story of the hunt for that day, we have loved stories. And I wanted to take stories that were from media events that we all knew, we all identified with. You know, some of them tragic. I wanted to take stories from films that we know and love. And I also took from some books, not as much. It was mostly media events and films that I drew from. And I thought that it was a way to get into whatever the topic was that I wanted to write about. I wanted to make it a fun and accessible way. So I used story by way of access and relevance. So I would use story at the top of whatever I was writing about. And then by the time I'm done writing, I would come back to, you know, make to punctuate that story. So the stories acted, if you will, as a donut to a lesson that you were learning about happiness. And I just thought it would be a more fun way of learning about happiness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just, the first part of your book brings you right in there because you
That's
talk about, an episode on Survivor. It just brings, it captures you that very moment. The first few words just capture you. It's great.
Thank you for saying that. That
Yeah.
was the hope.
That's exactly how I felt when I started reading it. So, what did you learn from producing on Survivor that stayed with you after you left the show?
Well, the big one was the one that I mentioned earlier, is that you don't know what you are capable of doing until you are in that situation. That That is the biggest one that has stayed with me, that you don't know what you don't know until you are there. And the other thing that I learned from doing Survivor is not judging a book by its cover, meaning that when, as producers, in casting, before we ever got to the remote beach, you would be in interview with a potential cast member, and they would be witty. They would just be articulate. They were physically fit, and whatever those qualities are, you think, wow, they're going to be a great contestant. And then they would get on to the they would get into the game and on to a remote beach where they didn't have the green smoothie, they didn't have their friends, they didn't have their phone with them, they didn't have Instagram. So what you would see sometimes is just people who'd be great in interview in an urban setting, in an air-conditioned hotel room, fall apart. And
That would be me if I was,
yeah, you
I wouldn't last a day on Survivor.
and it was fascinating, and it helped me to understand that there is a difference between being mentally and physically fit in an urban environment versus an outdoor or remote environment. That it's two different kinds of fitness. And I thought that was fascinating, which goes back to the first thing, which is you don't know how you're going to be until you're in that environment. If you are physically fit and buff in a gym, and you get out onto an island and you don't have all those things that you do to keep you fit, guys just fall apart. And I don't mean guys, men. I mean it as a general, people just fall apart. And then you get the reverse, where they rise to the occasion, where you think, oh, this they're a good contestant because they're actually kind of wimpy. And then they just they're so strong. So it's I just th those two are were big things that still stay with me to this day.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that not knowing what you're capable of doing and not judging a book by its cover.
Because you got to be really tough to be able to be out on that island all that time, not having food, all the little things that we all take for granted, you don't have.
Well, and I've even found that in my own travels. Yeah, I try to pack as light as possible, and it always impresses me the things that you come to depend on that are so simple, that you come to depend on this one sarong that you use for everything. You use it to wrap yourself up, after you get out of a shower. You use it to carry things, you use it to roll up and make a pillow out of it. That you by necessity, you become really resourceful with the small things that you have.
I can't do small things though.
You'd be surprised.
Always overpack. I don't know how to how to underpack. And what is the biggest takeaway for take a shot at happiness?
Happiness is, to me, another word for resilience. You use a book like mine to learn the virtues and qualities of happy people so you can better navigate those challenging times. So I think happiness is a beautiful word for resilience, and that happiness is a choice that you can make, and that you have to back it up with intentional, consistent action. It's almost like it's a vow that you take every day, which is something I have done. The day that I made that choice to be happy every day, I'm not saying all my days are happy. I have my share of troubles too. However, I still make that choice to be happy or happier in my life, which is that baseline I was talking about at the top of of our conversation.
Right. Well, tell us more about your book.
So my book is a guide to being happier, and it's a creative approach. And what I do is every chapter is a standalone chapter. So you can go through my book one of two ways. You can go through my book from page one to the last page, or you can just go to the section that you want to work on. So for your happiness, you feel, I need a little bit of a boost when it comes to understanding and being forgiving. You can just go to that chapter and work on forgiveness. And so each chapter has sort of has an overview of the idea that I'm talking about. It has an overview of forgiveness, since I mentioned that just now. And then it has eight bullet points, if you will, or eight snapshots using photography terms that are lessons about forgiveness, things that you can do to understand and be more forgiving. And then at the end of each bullet point, I have what I call centering thoughts and affirmations. And
Nice.
so, yeah, so you can use those to just sit and reflect, or at the end of the chapter. So each happiness essential, whether it's love or faith or gratitude, that happiness essential is its own chapter. So you get to the end of reading about forgiveness, and then I give you photography and writing, journaling prompts that help you take photographs and write about what is meaningful for you and how forgiveness is relevant to your overall happiness. So you can, and that's also where my app is really, great to have, because all those prompts are there. So as you are out in the world, you can be taking the photographs that you're being prompted to do and do the journal assignment. So you can always be working on being happier. So yes, you can either read the book all the way through, or you can just go into the chapter you want. And when I have the journaling prompts, so you take a photograph and then you journal about it. I invite readers to use the centering thoughts and the affirmations that were part of that specific bullet point. Does that make sense?
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
So
So,
it stays with you.
Right. Exactly. It
Slow and
helps you
lasting.
to, yeah, it helps you to reflect on it.
Nice. So
Yeah.
can you talk to us about the eight happiness essentials?
Well, it would take my whole book to go through all of them, but I'll tell you the what I believe are the three foundational ones. And to me, while you can go into my book into any chapter, and that chapter is standalone, how I designed the book and how I feel it works for me. Again, I'm writing about what has been impactful for changing my life, and did the research to back it up, is that I feel faith is my bedrock. I am very spiritually based. I don't, I am not, I'm not telling anybody what to believe in. I'm not telling them what philosophy to prescribe to. That's entirely personal. I just feel that it's important to feel that there is something bigger than yourself that is guiding you, that has your back, that is
Yes.
there for you. I just, to me, Having faith is a vessel for hope. It's a vessel for solace. It's how you feel not alone.
Right.
This is my experience. So for me, faith, that's the beginning. And then out of that, it comes love. And it's love for yourself, taking good care of yourself, and love for humanity, for the people around you, above and beyond your biological family or your closest friends, that yes, you love them, but you also, have a greater love. And then I think it's health that comes after that. And health is three-dimensional, which your work is too. You believe in mind, body, and soul, mind, body, and spirit, that all of that is connected. And I very much believe that in your overall happiness, and certainly specific to your health, that you're not just taking care of your physical body. It's also, equally important to be taking care of what's going on in your head, because a lot of times it's your thought process that's creating the disease that's manifesting in your body, and then having that spiritual dimension makes you a more rounded person. So those are my three. You build on that and then go from there.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
that spirituality is such a huge component.
It is.
Because without it, you just don't feel whole. Just don't feel whole. And the spirituality also gives us strength. And for those of us who believe in God, like I do, God is love.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
And when you have that spiritual peace, you really begin to understand or be in touch with what a beautiful universe we live in. And this universe is in control of everything, including our lives.
I agree.
So I know people want to know how they can get your book.
They can find
and the app as well.
Well, the app is Take a Shot at Happiness, and that can be downloaded in the App Store. Right now it's for iPhone. We're working on Android. And then the book, you can go to mariabaltazzi.com to order my book. You can get it from Amazon. You can get it from Target, Walmart, Goodreads, Barnes & Noble. Pretty much anywhere where you can order a book online, you can find my book.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so Maria, before we end, what do you want to leave the listeners with?
I'd like to leave the listeners with the knowledge that they genuinely have a choice in their happiness and well-being. It really is within their control. People can feel despondent and like, oh, my life is never going to pick up. It's never going to turn around. I'm never going to have the life they want. And it's not true. It's
right.
not. It's having that belief and choice that you can take control of your life and do it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and my book will help you.
You certainly have. You have certainly done it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with us. So nice meeting you. And I'm going to have you back again. Going to have you back again.
Well, it would be my honor and pleasure. Thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation. And I do sincerely hope that my pages inspire you and readers to live more qualitative lives, happier lives, the life that each and every one of us wants and we're entitled to.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to learn tips from your book that I can use with my patients.
No good. Well, I love
Yes.
that.
Yeah.